I'm Kate Northrup.
And I'm Mike Watts. And we're partners in life, love, and business.
Welcome to the Kate and Mike Show, where we share insights and interviews on entrepreneurship, relationships, parenting, self-actualization, and making a life, not just a living.
Hello, this is I'm Mike.
And this is Kate. Welcome to the Kate and Mike Show. We are here with a super fun episode for you. We just interviewed our friend Chris Guillebeau, who is the author of 4 books. The Art of Nonconformity was his first. Oh, no, 5 books. The Happiness of Pursuit, The $100 Startup, Born for This, and his most recent book, Side Hustle. So Chris is a New York Times bestseller, and he is also the founder of and host of Side Hustle School, which is a daily podcast with more than 2 million downloads per month. And I have to say, I am a huge fan. I totally binge listened to it, and I did not want to get out of the car because it's so fun.
He also has created the World Domination Summit.
Yep.
Which you and I have been to quite a few times.
We got engaged on the way to the World That's Domination correct. Summit.
I actually, then we ran into my old friend from high school, Kelly, and I'm actually speaking her event next week in Richmond, Virginia.
Which will have already happened when this podcast
that's
goes
That's correct.
Live.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Chris also visited 193 countries, which is every country in the world, before his 35th birthday. And so in this episode, we talked about what's the longest time he's gone without showering,
yep.
which is how we kicked it off. We talked about discipline and habits and what makes somebody like Chris, who says he's going to visit 193 countries and actually does it and writes 1,000 words a day and actually does it and does a daily podcast and actually does it. Like, what sets him apart from somebody who says they're going to do these things but can't manage to follow through? And I thought his answer was really insightful and interesting. We talked about how to plan a 100-city book tour or a 50-state book tour or whatever kind of tour you want to do and some of the things to look out for and how he did it.
It's also helpful if you just want to do like a 2-city book tour.
Any or kind of workshop thingy. Yeah. Not even a book tour. It could be like workshop tour, whatever, any kind of tour. And what else did we talk about, honey?
We just had a good time.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
Love Chris.
Yeah, we talked about travel hacking he's the one that we've talked about that many times on here, which I know there's folks, Amy Meter, our old landlord, and also our real estate agent that helped us close in this house. She was like emailing and texting me and messaging me because they just signed up for points, and she was telling me about how excited she is and all this stuff. So it's been pretty cool. Like cards, she redid her financial cards and stuff in that because all that knowledge.
Credit cards.
Yeah, credit cards. Yeah, all that knowledge came from Chris. So we talked about and how he travels and runs his business as well.
Yeah, in the show notes, if you want to go back and listen to our points game episode, you can do that. But it's inspired by Chris and his work. And also, just a little bit of the background, I met Chris, really fun, in 2010. In the fall of 2010, he was on his 50-state tour for The Art of Nonconformity, and he was at Longfellow Books in Portland, Maine, and I happened to be home visiting. I lived in New York City at the time, and my friend Bindu texted me, and she was like, hey, Chris Guillebeau is in your city tonight. You should go, and I didn't know who he was, but I just decided to go, so my mom and I went to his first book tour event. Well, it wasn't the first, but it was one of them. And I just really liked him right away. And then we ended up keeping in touch. He actually, you know, you just assume, or like I assume, that when you email people, they'll never write you back. I just always assume that. But he wrote me back, and then we ended up keeping in touch and met up at South by Southwest in Austin. And yeah, and then we were co-hosts for another book tour of him. And it's just great.
It's been great.
So,
but yeah, it's a great episode, and definitely check out him on the road. He's great in person.
He's doing a 100-city tour. Yeah,
he's
for
probably
Side Hustle.
He's coming to your area most likely, and he's great in live, like at his book events. They're very
a wonderful.
We've met some amazing people there.
Yeah.
I remember Zach.
We have.
Remember Zach and the lady he was dating at that time?
Yeah.
We met them at the book tour, and they were traveling to every CrossFit gym
in the country.
Yeah, they were doing a cross-country trip traveling to different CrossFit gyms, and they ended up staying at our house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So now we have for you, before we turn it over to the episode, we have our listener review of the week.
Yeah, remember we were doing that thing a couple weeks ago, and then we've kind of taken a couple weeks off, but now we have Shannon.
Yeah. So Shannon
says, I so enjoy the Kate and Mike show. I'm a new listener, but I haven't missed a week yet. I love the back and forth between these two, and they're so relatable and open that you can't help but feel like you're sitting around with good friends that know what being entrepreneurial is all about. I particularly enjoyed the episode about the importance of network and community. Kate's enthusiasm for making new friends was just what I needed to feel excited about attending more events myself, and Mike's story about building a community from scratch was so reassuring because I've moved a lot. Thank you both. So thank you, Shannon. And what does Shannon get?
She would like a copy of your book. Well, okay. Her and I were in touch, and she actually left the review and then sent me a message on Instagram and was like, I left you a review.
See, so that's how you get what you want. So Shannon, you'll be receiving a signed copy of my book. And for our listener of the week, next week, we would love to give away a copy of Chris's new book, Side Hustle, From Idea to Income in 27 Days. So if you leave us a review, you can be entered to win a copy of Chris's new book. And you just need to listen in to the next episode, and we will do that giveaway.
And put in the description, just the first word, you can put Side Hustle. Then we know that's the book you're after. And we will see you. Enjoy the episode, and we'll see you guys on the interview. Bye.
So I just have one quick question to start it off, Chris Guillebeau, since we were just talking about, you know, as your nice hat that you're wearing, for those of you listening are unable to see it. Actually, nobody else can see it.
Nobody can see it because this is...
But they'll just have to take your word for it.
There's no video. How, and you said you haven't showered yet today. So I'm curious, just random thought that came into my head when you said that. You've traveled all over the world for long periods of time. So like, what's the longest you've ever gone without a shower?
Nobody's ever asked that question before, Mike. I appreciate that. I mean, that's good. Most people start out with like, what's your favorite country? Or like, tell us how to start a side hustle. So that's great.
Tell us about yourself, Chris.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the worst, right? Exactly. For our listeners who don't know, tell us about yourself. And then I'm like, I'm telling my life story over and over, which I don't mind doing. It's fine. Yeah,
no,
but you know, I feel bad for everybody who listens to me on other podcasts because I'm like, you're going to hear the same freaking thing. Like, my life story doesn't change from week to week, you know, like the fundamental like right. narrative. Yeah. But anyway, to stay on topic, I mean, I wouldn't say that long because I'm kind of a pro shower guy, you know, like I actually take like 2 showers a day most of the time, like one in the morning and then if I work out or something. So obviously there has been, maybe it was on my longest bus ride, which was something like 37 hours from Kampala, Uganda to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. And it was all in like one stretch. Like there was like 10 minute breaks. Then there was a break when the bus broke down, of course. But I think that was probably it. Yeah. And then I like obviously went straight for the shower.
Yeah. That's actually not that
wow,
long.
Wow. I was expecting way longer.
Yeah. I've definitely gone.
No, I'm not really like into camping or anything like that, you know?
I've definitely gone like 3 or 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. When you have it, I will say like having a newborn really expanded my capacity for non-showering. Right. I don't know why it's so hard to shower as a parent, but it's become like one of the most challenging areas of my life.
But now we just found how to market this podcast. We just say, find out how long Chris Guillebeau has gone without showering, .. Listen here.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, we should have saved it for the end, you know, like exactly.
Yeah.
So people listen for like, you know, 3 hours and then they find out, oh, it's not that interesting.
No, it is, because I have to tell you, I had a long drive yesterday and I was listening to the Side Hustle School and I love your podcast. And I have to say, I am not somebody who will be starting a side hustle. And so I'm not actually your ideal listener, but the stories are so fun. You know, like I love the one. Can you talk about the woman? So first of all, the side hustle is From Idea to Income in 27 Days. So this is not quitting your full-time job to like take a leap of faith on your dreams.
Right.
Though certainly I'm sure you support that if that's what somebody wants to do. But this is for somebody who doesn't want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I do support that for people who want to do it. What I kind of realized over time, like I'm a slow listener, so this took like 8 years. Not everybody wants to be like me. Like I'm unemployable. Like I want to always work for myself, but actually most people don't. Most people actually like just want to have a good job and they still have other dreams. They want to do other stuff, but obviously it's totally possible to work for the right company or organization, but I think you still need to, you know, invest in yourself. You still need to have more than one source of income. So that's what this is about. It's not about helping people like be quote unquote entrepreneurs. It's about helping them make more money in a short period of time to give them more security, confidence, options, maybe a backup plan, and maybe eventually, you know, to go full time into it. But it's meant to be something that is accessible. And so that's why I do the show every day. And you were asking about a specific episode, I think.
I was. Yeah. Can you, there's two episodes that, well, first of all, I just really want to commend you on your wordplay around the person who did not like your puns about honeybees, because I was laughing out loud in my car about the number of ways that you built that in. That was awesome.
Yeah. That was a buzzworthy episode, as I recall.
It was like around episode like 105 or something. Mm-hmm. It was the roundup from the week.
I haven't heard this one.
For our listeners, if you are a word nerd like me, you have to listen just for the number of things that Chris came up with for puns around bees. But can you talk about the cuddle one? Because I thought that was really fascinating and something I've never heard of. And we're like in the healing touchy-feely world, so right. I'm pretty surprised I had never heard of this.
Right. And so yeah, I got some interesting feedback about that one too. So let me think about, it's been a little while since I did this story, but there actually is an industry of professional cuddling, which is non-sexual touch. I mean, it's like platonic touch therapy. Essentially, I think part of the concern is over the word therapy, right? Because like who's qualified to do, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But just the notion that some people want to be snuggled and they may not necessarily have somebody that they can snuggle with. And so this woman started a little snuggling business, cuddling business. And she was really, really very clear that it is non-sexual and like there's all kinds of like protocols she has to ensure her safety, but she's actually like, feels like she's doing a good service and she's able to make, I don't know, you know, a good side income from it. So I like to focus on just kind of quirky kind of stories like that. Like I don't talk about internet marketers. I don't talk about professional bloggers. I try to just, you know, like who are real people that are doing it, things that you've never thought about, like the bees or like the cuddling or like the guy who has a blog about fish tanks and makes $700 a month. You know, he set this project up 3 years ago and doesn't do anything for it now. So that's the kind of stuff that I like to feature. And then not just tell the stories, but hopefully like teach through storytelling so that people can learn like, okay, how did he get this idea? You know, how did she realize that there actually could be this industry of cuddling or snuggling? And how did the beekeeper go and, you know, become a beekeeper? All that kind of stuff.
It's kind of, I mean, I understand that your podcast is about learning and I actually did learn a lot. And it's sort of like This American Life in a way, because it's just only because people are quirky and amazing. I just find it really interesting to hear about the wacky things that people do to make money on the side.
Hmm. Good. So, you know, I was worried, Kate, when I started, because I started this January 1, made a commitment to do, you know, a daily episode, you know, for a year at least, 365. But some people think I had like every episode recorded before I started. So people have asked me that, like, how long did it take you to record all those? I'm like 5 days ahead right now, basically. Like that's I'm working 5 days out. And now we are, and you know, at the time we're recording this, it's like day 284 of the year. But when I started, what I was going to say is I actually didn't know I didn't know how it was going to go because I had like the first 20 stories identified. And, you know, I was like, am I going to get to day 80 and like running out of stuff basically? So it's been interesting to see like, you know, over the year, like a lot of stories have led to other stories and people are like referring people and sending them in. And now, and one of my favorite things actually is that probably about 20% of the stories now are coming from the listeners who started in January and February
built
their side hustle. And so like, I love to be able to kind of like do a little throwback and say like, you started here and now here's where you are. And I would love to get that percentage to like 30 or 40%.
And so do your stories come in, people submit them at sidehustleschool.com?
That's right. Yep.
Pretty much.
If anybody's listening and has a side hustle, yeah, that's great. I would love to hear about it. It's sidehustleschool.com. On the about page at the bottom, it says submit your side hustle story.
Okay.
Maybe I should submit my side hustle story.
About eBay?
No, not. I'm not. I wouldn't be the person. Jenny would be the person.
But that's her full
time. Which side hustle? Because you have a bunch of them, I think.
Well, no, from like college days.
Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. I think it has to be legal.
Oh, all right.
So, Chris,
how to thrive.
I love that segue. That's great. Were you selling pot or something? Because that's legal now, basically everywhere. So
That's true. Chris, how many countries have you visited? Yeah.
No. Okay. So I want to know, you have visited all 193 countries in the world. Do you still write 1,000 words a day? 1,000 pages a day.
I never wrote 1,000 pages. You know what? You know, to be totally transparent, I'm not. Like, I mean, I'm still trying to write. Like, I wrote a book. You know, I'm going to work on another book at some point. But the daily podcast ritual has kind of taken the place of some of that. And I actually have to write more than 1,000 words, you know, for each episode of that in terms of like, you know, working with the material and all that. So not actually writing 1,000 other words a day.
But for the podcast, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then you're a runner and you just do like, you churn out a lot of books and a lot of blog posts and stuff. So I'm wondering if we could just talk about habit and ritual and discipline.
Great.
And find out your, I don't know you super well, but we've hung out enough and I've followed you for long enough.
7 years or something.
No, it's been a long time since, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we met in Portland, Maine at Longfellow Books for your first book tour.
We met in Austin, Texas before then.
No, I think a nonconformity was first.
Was it first? Okay. Yeah, thank you for correcting me. On the Freedom Tour. Yeah, right.
On the Freedom Tour. Yeah, that was
brought the Freedom Tour. Yeah. Okay. To Portland, Oregon. Yeah.
To Portland, Oregon. Right. Yeah. And then we came to WDS two times.
Colorado. And then you drove to Texas.
I did.
And got a speeding ticket. A
$400 speeding ticket.
Yeah. $400, man.
Oh, it was bad.
You
should just never drive in Colorado again. You should just never not pay the ticket, but never go back, basically.
It was bad. I paid it. Anyway.
There's like three states I can't go to.
I did not get arrested.
No, that happened to Macklemore or something. He just talked about this on it. It was a parking ticket or a speeding ticket. Then he got in a really bad accident and the cop like literally took him to jail because he had a suspended license because of this outstanding parking ticket. Like, it was crazy. So yeah, we should just pay our tickets.
So pay your parking tickets, folks. Yeah. So I just want to know, what do you think, because you also meet a lot of people, what do you think separates somebody like you who really does things like visits all 193 countries and does a daily podcast for, for a year? You haven't done it yet, but I have zero doubt that you'll do it. And writes 1,000 words a day. Like, what separates you from somebody who says they're going to do those things, but then doesn't?
I mean, yeah, that's a great question.
I think it's a big question. I don't know if you can answer.
No, I'm just thinking about it. Like, I don't want to give you a rote answer, I mean, we could talk about like the tips or the rituals and all that. I think that's good. But I would say first and foremost, like the most important thing, people are always just trying to be more efficient and like, get that 2% edge or whatever. I think the greatest productivity hack is to love what you do and to like be really excited about what you're working on and to have a vision that you believe in and then commit wholeheartedly to that. And I feel like once you do that, it's so much easier than trying to optimize a life that you don't necessarily love. You know, if you got a job you got to go to that you don't like or something else in your life that's kind of burdensome, you can be productive and develop rituals and all that too, but you're just kind of putting a band-aid on the problem. So I think for me, the first thing is like, I feel very fortunate that I am able to write books and travel, produce the podcast, and like I'm living my dream life in that way. Like, I feel like, the whole question about time and money, like if time and money were no object, like what would you do? I'm like, I would do something like what I'm doing right now, really. So that's the first thing. I mean, second thing is, there's probably some negative aspect to it too. I mean, I think it's fair to talk about that. Like, I am kind of compulsive. Like, I do have.
I think you would have to be.
Yeah, I have like an addictive personality, which by itself is not bad, right? It's just a question of like, what are you doing with that?
Correct. Yep.
So what are you addicted to?
Yeah. Right. So I guess I've tried to like channel that or funnel that in ways that are somewhat healthy. And I also just kind of do my stuff all the time. Like, this is what I do. I don't have a lot of hobbies. And I think it's totally fine and normal for people to be balanced and have hobbies. I just don't. Like, every time I've tried to find something fun to do, I'm like, this is why I want to go back and do my stuff, So, I don't know.
I want to kind of reverse engineer, add on to Kate's question a little bit. Hmm. So you have started a lot of really cool things, as Kate talked about, books, events, live, World Domination Summit, and it continues. Like, you spawn little smaller events from World Domination Summit. Now, so when you thought of starting this podcast, how long ago? So you started January 1, 2017. Yeah. When did you get the idea to do that?
Great. Was it
something you were thinking about for like 3 years and then you knew it was like, this is the time to go? Or was it like you started in December and was just like, I'm ready, let's go, so.
Yeah, no, there was some process to that. So it was last summer. It was last summer that I started thinking about it. I knew I was going to write the Side Hustle book. That came out of my last tour. Last book I wrote was called Born for This. It was really interesting because like the book was about how to find the work you're born to do and win the career lottery. And I had like one little chapter in that 13 chapter book about starting a side hustle. People responded to that far more than anything else. Like, I was excited about lots of other stuff and they're like, tell me more about, chapter 7 or whatever. Like, that was 2 minutes of my 30-minute stump speech. And I got 50% of the questions about side hustle. So first of all, I'm paying attention to the people I speak to. I know that's important. So I knew I was going to do the book, but then I guess I was like, I want to embrace like a different medium. I want to try something that's challenging. I do like the ritual of like the every country in the world or going to all 50 states like we did for that first book tour. And so that's when I had the idea of starting the podcast. And also I was 10 years late to the podcast party. Like, you guys have pioneered, everybody else has been doing podcasts forever. And I needed some way to stand out. And I was like, I'm going to, you know, have it with no guests. It's going to be 10 minutes a day. I'm going to do it every day telling a story. So that was the vision. And then from there to actually making it happen, it was like, you know, 3 or 4 months of working on it. And I didn't say anything about it to anyone. This was interesting. I didn't do any kind of pre-launch, and which is so different from what I've done launches before. And I think that's valuable marketing wise. But for me, I just felt kind of personal about this. I was like, I just want to put it out. I just want to be like, here, this thing that I've been working on for 6 months, I haven't said anything about, go, you know? So by the time January 1 rolled around, like, I was ready to do that. But there was a lot between, I don't know, yeah, September and December.
And then for your systems, like, do you have someone editing that, or is it you're still doing? Because I know before the last time that you and I chatted, all three of us chatted, you know, it's like, I think the question was like, you know, how many people are helping you produce all of these things? And you're like, well, I do it all. So like, is that still the reality? Like, is that still Chris Guillebeau's life? You're wearing all hats on the whole venture?
I mean, I do a lot, but I don't do it all. No, I mean, so first of all, the podcast is a partnership with a network called Panoply. So they do all of the production, they do the audio stuff. So I record, I send to them, they do that. They handle all the relationships with the advertisers, which is great because I don't want to deal with that. I'm supportive of an advertising model. I just don't want to be a salesman, you know? So they do all of that. I have a great assistant named Whitney who helps with like the show notes and also organizing all the scripts that, you know, for different shows. So no, there's, you know, it's not like a huge team, but there are other people that are helping make it possible.
Do you write a script, or do you just kind of have some bullet points for each story?
I like to have a script. I like to have a detailed script.
Write it.
Yeah.
That's
exactly
awesome.
Wow. Yeah. So we do actually have some freelance writers that are helping with a lot of the stories. I should give them some credit too. So often what we do in that situation is like someone will submit the information and like we go through and we have follow-up questions for them, and we kind of figure out like what is the narrative, the arc of the story. And then the writer actually like does that part, you know, gets it to me. I write the introduction, I write the conclusion, you know, I usually edit a bit. So it's not just me doing all the writing, I should be clear.
But that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's good. I like I said, it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
It's so fun to listen to.
Hold on. I want
to. Oh my God, we have so much to ask.
I want to know, are you, so every book tour or every book that you launch, you do this massive tour. Mm. So are you, well, let me ask part one of the question. Are you somebody that sits around and has crazy ideas constantly?
I don't think so.
Because like Kate does, right? So,
okay.
So are you going to do all these book tours to really find out what's next and like the next phase of kind of what you want to produce next?
Interesting.
Because you just said your side hustle, this whole chapter of your career came from the last book tour. And I wonder if that's been like a pattern, like steps that have happened.
Yeah. I think it's a pattern more than an intention, because like $100 Startup also came out of the first tour, where I met all these accidental entrepreneurs and people that were not living on the coast. They were in middle America or somewhere that doesn't get a lot of featured, and they're not doing like a Silicon Valley kind of startup, but they were creating personal freedom for themselves, which I know you guys identify with a lot as well. So $100 Startup kind of came out of that. And, you know, WDS for, you know, also came out of like the tour and the meetups and things. So I think it's more of like a byproduct or something that happens organically, as opposed to like, I'm going out on a listening tour, you know, like politicians do, and I'm going to like gather, you know, data and see what comes next.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's real different than like, at least that's what it sounds like, you know, cause like you have like 100,000 ideas a day of what we should do next.
But sometimes I change them based on what I hear.
True.
People. It's not like I just power through regardless of what somebody, you know, what our audience is asking for.
Right.
Do you think, you know, so we're now in the final quarter of the year, do you think that you'll continue with the podcast, or do you think you'll take a break after 365 days?
Yeah, that's the decision that we're basically making right now, me and the podcast network, and we'll see. I will say this, because one of the ideas that we talked about is like, what if it continues, but you know, it goes to like maybe a longer format that's twice a week or something like that. A couple of people were kind of pushing for that idea, and I have a lot of resistance to it. And it sounded good, but then I went away and I was like, no, the DNA of the show is to do it this way. And so I either do it this way or I don't do it, basically. That's kind of where I'm at.
Okay, cool.
We'll see.
And how is it for you doing a daily podcast?
I love
73 days in a row.
Yeah, oh, fantastic. I remember
153 days in a row.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I saw on your Instagram.
Yeah, my video blog was 73 days in a row.
You've done things every day for a while.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, but then I stopped.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the streak is self-motivating. You know, like the longer you have the streak, the more you want to keep it going. Like the stakes of not doing it go up, you know, like you don't, right? Yeah. If you're tired on day like 60, you're like, wow, if I stopped now, I'd have to, like, if I started over, it would take a long time to get back to this, you know? Fortunately, so I have some accountability built in too, which I think is good to mention, because it's also the same way I do my books. Like, some people are like, why do you like not self-publish your books? I'm like, there's a lot of reasons for that, a whole other conversation. But one reason really is I like deadlines. Yeah. I like deadlines that can't be moved. And if I'm the one who sets the deadlines, then that's a problem because I could very well move it, you know? Yes. And like this book, you know, I was not ready at all for the launch. I really was not ready for it to come out because I've been doing the podcast every day and I've been traveling and all kinds of other stuff. And like, we just finished producing WDS, but that's how it works with a pub date. Like, there's the pub date. You can't be like, actually guys, 2 weeks later would be great.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about that, but didn't go very far. So having some accountability is good. And the daily podcast is the same thing. It's like, I'm structuring my life around this.
Yeah.
So whatever else is happening, whatever like noise there is, whether ideas I have, you know, commitments, desire, all that kind of stuff, like it has to accommodate this thing. And I think that's healthy, at least for me.
I love it.
Yeah. I like it too.
What are some of the wackiest side hustles you've ever had?
The wackiest side hustle,
or just any of them. They don't have to be the wackiest.
I don't know if I've had like any really wacky ones. When I was a teenager, I tried to sell used dirt. Like, I made little business cards and I put like an ad in the back of Cat Fancy magazine. Do you read Cat Fancy, by the way?
No.
It's a huge publication. Oh yeah. I think they actually did a rebrand recently and changed their name. But if you Google Cat Fancy magazine, I'm sure you can see like what it became.
Wait, you're serious right now, right?
I'm totally serious.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a teenager. It didn't go very far. And then later, let's see what else. I don't know. I had like a little golf membership site, which is funny because I hate golf. Like, I don't play golf. And like, I had a little golf membership site and obviously didn't know anything about golf since I don't play it. So that wasn't a great idea. And then the story about that was, my idea was, I was selling, the membership cost like $1 basically. And there was no like back end, like there was no upsell or anything. And I remember sitting with the designer who was making, this is really funny. I was sitting with the designer who was making the site and he's like building it out in front of me. And he's like, I just have a question. How are you going to make money on $1 a person? And I was like, just make the site, you know, like, don't worry, but just you do your stuff. Leave that to me. And, you know, obviously like didn't go so well, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know what else. I mean, I imported coffee. I sold Legos. I did a bunch of like random stuff in my
early 20s.
Well, so in the early days of eBay, this is 20 years ago, you know, when I got my start and I realized I am unemployable. Like, I quit the last job that I had at age 19 and started selling stuff on eBay. And in the early days, eBay was a seller's market, which is often how it is with platforms. Like, when a new platform comes out, like the platform itself is the news, right? Not the content, but the actual, you know, technology, which is backwards, of course. But it was a seller's market in the sense that you could list anything on eBay and people would buy it because it's on eBay. So I could go to the store and buy Legos and then put them on eBay and people would pay like 20% more because it's, you know, on eBay.
Wow.
So it's kind of like,
so that was a timing thing.
Yeah.
It was timing. Yeah. It wasn't like I was incredibly intelligent, but it was that's what led me to a lot of other stuff. Like, when I did that, I was like, this is fun. This is interesting. Like, how do I figure out what things cost in one place and how I can sell them in another place? Then I had this coffee importing business where I bought coffee from Jamaica and resold it in the US. So all that stuff was like deciphering, you know, little arbitrage opportunities, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would you say, like, if you could go back and ask, you know, and talk to yourself 15 years ago, what would you tell yourself about, I mean, I suppose about life, but specifically about business, like what do you wish maybe you had known that you know now?
Right. Life and business. Okay. Once again, I don't want to give you a rote answer. Let me think here. Yeah. Well, it's no fun to do that.
It's true.
Right. Well, what would I tell myself about business? You know, I guess they're kind of intertwined because my work and my life are intertwined. For me, I would just say that kind of like, you know, first of all, get ready because, you know, this is fun now and you think this is awesome, but it's going to go like places that you never would imagine. And it's not just about like, you're going to make more money. it's that it's going to turn into something like far beyond what you envision. And I would say also keep taking steps, like do what's in front of you. Don't worry about the big vision necessarily, because this comes up a lot. People are always like, go to every country in the world. You know, that's so intimidating. But I didn't decide that until I'd been to like, you know, I went to like 30 countries, and then I set a goal to go to 100, and I got closer to that. And it was like, then I'm going to go to everyone. So I did the steps that were in front of me. And like I had the crazy idea to go to West Africa and be an aid worker. And that also was kind of like scary and big and overwhelming, but I kept thinking about it and I did it. And that gave me a lot of confidence and experience to do other stuff. So I would say, do the thing that's in front of you, think about what's challenging and don't shy away from that. You know, like don't just look for the easy way. That's what I would say to myself. And I think for the most part I did that, but there were some times when I think I took the easy way out and I wish I hadn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, let me think. I came back to the US from West Africa and did a master's degree at the University of Washington. And I didn't have a terrible experience. I just had a mediocre experience. So it wasn't like amazing. It wasn't awful. It cost $32,000, you know, for a certificate that, you know, doesn't really help me in lots of ways. You know, like I did learn some things. I learned how to be a better writer. Like the critique of actually submitting papers and getting criticism was good, but still, you know, $32,000. So I guess the thing is, the reason why I bring that up, it's not just about the price tag or those years I spent doing it, because I don't really regret it. But I think I did that because I thought I was supposed to do it, or I was chasing some kind of status that I thought would come out of that experience. And, you know, that's very hollow. And fortunately, I had a decision. I don't know if most people know this, but right when I started the blog, The Art of Nonconformity, it was my 30th birthday around that time, and was finishing the master's degree, and I was applying for PhD programs. And I was almost at this like fork in the road, basically, of like, am I going to, you know, go with this Art of Nonconformity thing, which is very new and like ambiguous, or am I going to try to like continue my, you know, education in this system, which is very predictable and safe. And fortunately at that point, you know, I did choose to do what I'm doing now. And that's why we're having this conversation. And that's why, you know, we're in relationship and we've known each other for years. But maybe that master's degree was like a case of like doing the easy thing, or doing something that I didn't necessarily need to do, but I thought I should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I
think we've all got some of those things. Yeah, totally.
It's my whole MBA story right there summed up.
Yeah.
How much was yours?
62.
Oh, wow. You beat me then.
I did.
Yeah. What did you get?
Well, actually, I beat you because I paid $30,000 less.
You did beat him.
You did beat me.
What did you get master's
in? But Philip Morris paid 30 of that. So really, I only paid.
You guys are even.
Yeah. Philip Morris. That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. I ended up paying a long journey.
Yeah, of course. it was international studies, like focusing on Africa and governance. And it was good. It was good stuff that I learned, but there's a lot of BS to it. There's a lot like the BS to value ratio is really skewed in grad school. You know, it's like, you're getting some good stuff, but you're also getting a waste of time, even in a good program, I think.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right. I never went to grad school, so I can't speak from experience.
You beat both of us then. You win.
I spend zero money on grad school. Good. I know I am not interested in grad school. I don't know why I would do that. Okay. So I want to know, like, I don't actually know about like you and your family and if you hang out with them or whatever, but I know that a lot of people who have unusual careers, including ourselves, sometimes like it's challenging because your family doesn't understand what you do. So do you have that with your family? Like, do people from before understand what you do and are supportive, or is it kind of like, oh, I just don't talk to them about it, or...
Yeah. I mean, now they do, because now they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah. And you like have clubs that people can hold those.
So. Right. No, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, there's my grandpa or something who said, like, when I wrote my first book, he was like, you know, I'm so glad Chris is not doing that internet thing anymore. You know, like now he actually has like a real job now. And I was like, well, I still don't have a real job, and I'm still doing the internet thing. Also that internet thing, you know,
which is why I got a book deal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But no, I mean, like when I started also, like, you know, this was 20 years ago when I was doing the eBay thing, there weren't a lot of other people doing it, at least that I knew, like in my little area. It was far less, you know, mainstream than it is now. So like, I don't think my parents understood a lot of it, but now they do. Like, I was just in Atlanta last week and my parents came over and they're like, they come to WDS now. They've been coming to WDS for 2 years and
really? Yeah,
awesome. They really identify with it. So it's just taken some time.
That's awesome.
So I would say to anybody who's in the situation of like, my family doesn't understand, well, you just have to prove them wrong, basically. You just have to show them, or not necessarily prove them wrong, but prove it, you know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sometimes easier to do that just by demonstration than by conversation, I think.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think trying to explain, trying to convince is one of the biggest wastes of time that you could possibly.
All aspects of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Modeling is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. So you're on a book tour right now about Side Hustle.
Right.
So I just want our listeners, how long are you on the book tour? Until
it's 100 cities. So it's going to go for a little while.
Man.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, at the time where you're talking, I finished 13. So I feel like I'm almost done. I'm in that tail end, you know, of like only 87 cities to go, you know, it's like that last mile of the marathon.
you're like a rock star, you know, getting out there with their 100 city tour. And yeah.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm 100% introverted.
I know.
Did you not know that?
I did know that. Because I've spent time with you. No, I do. But I just think for an introvert, it's unusual to want to go to 100 city book tour because I am a massive extrovert. And the idea of going to 100 cities and talking to that many people, I find exhausting. So what is that about you?
I just discovered somewhere along the way that... It's kind of like what we said earlier. Not everything that's challenging is bad for you. In fact, a lot of things that are challenging are quite good for you. That's what you should be doing. I actually get a lot of energy out of this process and I do find it very meaningful. And I'm still an introvert. Like that's an innate trait. It doesn't really change, but that just means I need to spend a lot of time by myself, which I do. So, you know, I stay in hotels. I don't stay on people's couches. Like people often offer hey, I got to, you know, come and stay. And I'm like, thank you very much. I need to kind of have my own time.
Yeah.
Like no disrespect. I'm going to be on when I go to the gig and that's great. And then I'm going to go back and be by myself. So it works.
Yeah. No, actually that makes sense. Cause when I travel for business by myself, I spend a lot of time by myself and it's actually really replenishing in certain ways.
Yeah.
Especially now that I'm a kid. But
yeah, I was just in Santa Barbara for 3 days by myself. I was like, this is amazing.
I know.
It was great.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you book all your own travel?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I'm picky, you know, like nobody would know exactly how to book it the way I want to. So I just do it myself.
Do you have the travel hacking cartel?
Yeah,
we do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travelhacking.org.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell about that in the intro. Yeah. People can get access to that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because I know. And then if you're going to use points or pay for things, you know, you have to really factor all those in.
We have to give Chris massive credit because he is the one that turned
us. No, all the credit. He gets it all.
Well, massive all of the credit. Yeah, you're the one, Chris, that turned us on to the points game. And we, took our whole honeemoon.
I remember. I remember getting texts from you guys about showing me your destination.
We get upgraded all the time.
Good.
We get hotels for free.
Business class by accident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll just.
Good work.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you so much.
Oh, please. You're welcome. You did the work.
I just wouldn't have known otherwise, you know, until you started writing about it. And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. I'll just say thanks to the Eddie Hod customer service guy that made that mistake. But yeah.
Oh, they got us in the Eddie Hod first class pods.
Yeah, by
that was not the points game. That was a miracle.
That was a miracle.
Yeah. Miracle.
Yeah, but it is.
Try to make that mistake more often.
Yeah,
I should.
It was great.
So you just keep calling the customer service. You know, I called that Eddie Hod customer service probably 15 times because I was wanted to upgrade, and I kept trying to see if the price was going to be reduced or if point reduction. You know, and usually it doesn't happen, but I just wanted to give a shot. And the guy was like, "Yeah, I'll put you on the wait list." And I was like, great. And I actually got a confirmation after I got the phone that you've been upgraded to business class.
That's great.
I was like,
great story.
Nice. I like
great story. Well done.
I was nervous the whole time. Like I was like,
you're somebody's going to walk up and pull you back.
I thought they were going to call us off the plane.
Yeah. I was like, we walk up to first class and check in. And the first thing they say is you should have been here an hour and a half ago. And I was like, crap. And then I was sweating the whole time. I'm like, are they going to make us, are we going to sit economy? And I was like, that would have been fine. But yeah, anyway.
Which would not have been an emergency, by the way.
It's a long flight. I mean, the Etihad flight is a long flight. So I don't, I understand.
Yeah. What are your next, do you still set travel goals? Because now your goal was, is it 193 or 94?
193.
So your goal was to hit all these countries, right? Mm-hmm. And you did. So now what are your, do you have travel goals now? Or are you just kind of traveling you just schedule the book tour and go?
Yeah, I don't have the same kind of travel goals. I don't have adventure-y travel goals. I still like to do a lot of international travel. I really enjoy that. So I try to do at least one round the world ticket every year. Wow. It's more like two, actually. Lately it's been two. But now it's mostly just focused on the book tour and, you know, going to the 100 cities is my current goal. So I work with that and I'm sure I'll set something else at the end of that.
Cool.
And so you have hosts. So for people who are wanting to plan a book tour or a workshop tour or whatever, so you have hosts and they sort of write in via your blog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a good little topic because if somebody's trying to do this themselves, I mean, now I am a little bit established. I have a great relationship with my publisher and all that, but it wasn't always that way. And my first book was with a much smaller publisher and, you know, they didn't really, I mean, I don't want to say they didn't care, but they didn't have the resources to invest in it a lot, which is fine. So I just kind of put it together. Yeah. I wrote on my blog at the time, like, hey, I'm going to go to all 50 states. Want to help, you know, and fortunately I got a bunch of folks who offered to help. And some places I would just work directly with a bookstore, but it was also like yoga studio and like daycare center one place.
Really?
Heavy metal concert hall in San Francisco, which was pretty cool. Yeah, a bunch of like random stuff like that.
The daycare center. That's awesome.
Yeah. Grocery store once. That was my worst one ever was at a grocery store in Minneapolis. And I said, I'm never going back to this again.
Yeah. Grocery store is not a great venue.
Yeah. In the middle of like how do I describe it? It was like a neighborhood revitalization kind of thing. They had lots of small businesses, blah, blah, blah. But that's what sounds good, but it's still in a grocery store, like literally. So
distracting.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're making announcements, you know.
Yeah, no.
Right. Two for one special.
What department were you
in? The produce, basically. The people are like, so I had like 150 people there. I had like a great crowd. It was so funny. They're all there. And people are like walking by, like picking up bananas and stuff. You know? And they would be like, on the announcements, they'd be like, Chris Gillibo is in the middle of the store, you know, speaking about the $100 startup. It was just crazy.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I mean, that makes a great story.
It does make a great story.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. Well, my girlfriend's about to go across the country teaching workshops. And so I was thinking about this because I did that, but I was posted everywhere by some people. And it was very much inspired by reading your book, The Art of Nonconformity. I was like, oh, well, if Chris can do this, I can do this. But I told her, I said, listen, you have to have other people host because you cannot handle the logistics of every single thing.
Yeah.
And you have to be prepared that it's going to be like 90% awesome and 10% really weird venue that is going to be like, what the?
Yep. True. True. Right? That's good.
Like the
I did somewhere where I didn't have a host, and it's really stressful when it's like that. So it's much better to have somebody there that can help out. So, but that could be anybody who's connected, anybody who has a space, anybody who's, you know, good with local community and knows people.
And you'll just go.
Sure.
100 cities.
Yeah.
I love it.
101 if we line it up.
We're going to bump somebody else off.
So we're going to like bump off Houston or something.
Well, because you've been to Portland twice so far because you came for the $100 startup and for the Art of Nonconformity.
That's right.
But it's now been a while because we now have a 2-year-old and a second on the way. So like,
It was the last.
And what's the launch date, you know, for that second child?
Sometime at the end of March.
March. Okay. We got time.
Aries, pub date, launch date.
I mean,
we're in pre-launch mode right now.
We're in pre-launch mode. Yeah. Gestation.
Aries. Okay, good. I'm an Aries myself.
I know. So. Me too. That's right.
7th.
Oh, April 7th. Okay. Yeah.
Let's see if we can get this next baby to all 193 countries by the time he or she is 10.
I'm not interested in that.
And then that's good.
We can be on.
You have points, Mike. You know how to do this.
Yeah.
Just call Etihad to get your baby upgraded. You know, like, just put the baby in the front.
Before, it's lap child, you know, so we'll just
put it on somebody else's lap.
Oh my God.
Your points really start to decline once you start childing with three people.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. But it's still great.
Yeah.
So, all right, Chris. So I would like to know, just as a final kind of question before we wrap up and let you go on your side hustle way, what do you think somebody who is working in a job right now and like has the desire to start something but is scared? I would imagine you talk to these sorts of people a lot.
Yep.
What would you have to say to them? If they were
great.
Just like, I don't know.
I would say, first of all, you're not alone. Like a lot of people feel that way. It's very common to feel that way. And I think a lot of people feel that way because they have the perception that they're going to be taking a big risk in doing this. And they're going to, you know, mortgage their house or like take out their life savings, or also not just that, but time. They're going to spend 6 to 10 months working on something that may or may not have a reward. So a lot of what I'm trying to do with the side hustle method, you know, from idea to income in 27 days, is really to kind of remove that risk And so I'm encouraging people to not spend a lot of money. Let's get things up and running really quickly. Let's just figure out like something simple using the skills you already have. That's the other thing I would say is don't think that you have to go out and like learn to code. You know, if you're not a web developer, don't make an app, right? You know, let's figure out what you're already good at. Let's look at the skills you have. What you probably don't know, the only thing you don't know is how to apply those skills like in this income generating, money making kind of way, because you know what you're good at in your job, you know, but these skills are very easy to learn. So it's not that hard to learn how to apply them. It's more important to focus on your life experience. So let's do that. And then let's see what we can make happen.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. Well, I love how practical your work is. And I also love how fun your writing is. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
For inspiring a lot of what we do. So for people to learn more, where should they go?
The Side Hustle book should be at any bookstore, online or offline. You can go to sidehustleschool.com. And the daily podcast is called Side Hustle. Side Hustle School. That's right. The book is called Side Hustle. The podcast is Side Hustle School. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you for that. And my name is Chris Guillebeau on social media, which no one can ever spell. But, you know, if you type in something close to that, you'll find me.
Thank you so much for coming on our show today.
It's something close to Chris Guillebeau.
It's so fun to see you. It's so fun to
It's great to see you too. Yeah. It's a huge honor. Well, thank you for having me on the wonderful show. Awesome. Thank you.
Bye,
Chris.
What's up, people? It is Mike Watts here, closing out this episode of the Kate and Mike Show. I just wanted to touch base with you because something really cool has started to happen post this, you know, closing of Origin, etc., is that we just opened up the doors, and we're currently opening up the doors for not only Mike J. Watts, but also I will be doing other business consulting for those of you that have a small business or a large business or an entrepreneur or starting out, etc. But basically, I like to think of myself as the business architect, and I help establish business owners and entrepreneurs build solid operating structures so they can scale to the next level of revenue. And this is the first time in a long time that we've actually opened the doors for business consulting to help you really systematize what you actually have going on. So my skill set would be looking at the systems that a business has in place and reviewing those systems, where the income streams are coming in, where's the advertising, what are you actually doing, and then streamlining what's actually going on. The last person that I helped with this, I saved her $8,000 within our first hour because she ended up with spending $4,000 a month on things that she didn't actually need right there. And it's just stuff like that where we're constantly, as we're running a business, we are always spending money on something, right? And so it's about making sure that that something is working out well for everyone, and not only everyone as a customer, but also you as the business owner. So we have opened the doors for that. You can check out more information at mikejwatts.com. Once again, that's mikejwatts.com. If you need some help when it comes to your systems, if you need some just consulting when it comes to your actual business, where your income streams are coming about, how you can go about growing your business, etc. I mean, I started this with zero income up, and we've really build a solid six-figure business, and this will be the first year that we'll be eclipsing seven figures. So it's pretty dope and pretty excited to see what else comes forward. So if you want to know more about that, you can just fill out the form at mikejwatts.com. There's a section under Work With Me. You can review more about that information. I look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode of the Kate and Mike Show. Have a great rest of the day. Cheers.